Good Friday evening on Friday, August the 29th, 2025. It just feels like the summer just flew by, and with the cooler weather here in Ontario, it's just, I think it really feels like we're truly headed toward the summer, ending of the summer spirit here. And what better way to end off the summer vacation for some of you, or at least for the kids before they go back to school, with a little bit of books conversation tonight, where we will discuss Love and Courage by Jugmeet Singh. First of all, I want to get your thoughts, Jeff, on it. I just actually got to the end today, but overall, what was your perspective? Did anything stand out? Did anything stand out or surprise you as you went through it?
I mean, I knew nothing about the man, you know, before he entered the political spotlight. So I guess one thing that surprised me was right at the very beginning, where after he's born, his parents are struggling to make it. So for his own security, they send him to Punjab. So for the first founding year of his life, he was not home, or maybe the first 2 years. And then when he gets back, he's adjusted to life in Punjab, and he comes home. He's like, oh, let's go, you know, chase the pigs out in the yard or something, because that was the land that he was on. And then he wouldn't visit that for another 12, 13 years. And at that point, it's like, I grew up here, you know?
Yeah, that too. And that's actually, that wasn't in, and that is, and that can be a very common thing where, and that is a very sort of where, well, when the parents, like when they're not making, they do sort of, you know, it wasn't surprising that I think I was sort of surprised how it happened that he ended up going to Punjab when, like, just, and in the first couple of years, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think, like, as I went through the book, but I'm not really surprised that it happened given the situation.
I mean, you know, just hearing you talk about it, I think back on my parents and their grandparents, because my parents are first generation Canadian, and they were born right after my nona and nono got here from Italy. And for the first, you know, their childhood was basically aunts, uncles, grandparents coming in and out as they got settled in their own situation. So they might, you know, there might have been a relative who stayed for 6 months out of the year. So it's a little different than going back to Italy or going back to your native country, but it's somewhat similar as you try and sort of get your bearings. In this case, obviously, his father was a struggling student. And how many of us have seen it where someone moves over here and their degrees don't take? They're fully qualified, but they've got to retake their exams here. It still happens.
It does, doesn't it? Yep. I mean, I knew somebody who years ago was here, like, they just wanted something different. Close, press the ND plus tilde to open pop-up. Raise hand, Sienna, raise hand. Close, press the ND plus tilde to open pop-up. Before I kind of continue with that thought, Sienna, you have your hand up. Yeah, everything okay?
All good. No, please continue. Lynn will be coming. I just wanted to mention that Lynn will be coming in momentarily, but please continue and continue your thought, and okay. Feel free, and I'll jump in afterwards.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so I feel like that's one of these sort of, like, it and then one of the pieces that kind of surprised me was that, like, I didn't realize that his dad was an alcoholic.
Yeah, I know. I didn't either. And what a relatable story.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Like, how many of us have either experienced it or been around friends who have? And it's one thing when just the whole cycle of it. Anytime that he would have, you know, he would have a night where he was clung to the bottle, and his kids would tell him how he was acting, how he made them feel, and it was probably, you know, very sincere. He was probably thinking, "Oh my God, like I'm a monster. I'll never do that again." But, you know, sometimes he was, you know, recovering from a hangover, sometimes still feeling the effects of the alcohol, and sometimes maybe he was a day removed, and you're in the present and you're thinking straight. But then, you know, it's really hard to outweigh an addiction, and it's really easy to slip back into it.
And that's why, too, that as it moved like toward the end, where actually eventually what ended up happening, as we kind of went throughout the book, was that where his dad actually, where they found him an apartment on his own, because he was just getting too dangerous and whatnot for people, for the kids to be around him, around the factor, have him around due to these situations. And then it became a point where he kind of said, okay, then where he said, I want, and he did make the effort, oh, I want to change things around. And still his brother and whatnot didn't, were still very angry with him. And really still didn't want him around. But I feel like that's where that courage, that's where I think the title sort of meets up.
Yeah, because if you think of love, love is really, love is through the best of times and the worst of times. Courage is, here's something that's present, and I want to change that. In some case, it's changing the status quo, which is something big, which requires courage. In this case, when you have something that's very, that's very overpowering and that really kind of messes with your self-control and your compulsions, it takes a lot to override that. In the same way, it takes a lot to override any sort of mental condition. You've really got to push back on forces that are pushing against you.
Yeah, and certainly that's it. Yep. And it also, and it mentions that part in the book too, where love is a difficult, or can be a difficult thing, because that's where it kind of stemmed from, his fault, like with his father's ongoing addiction and problems.
Yeah, no worries. And like, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, they've gone through so much. I mean, not just his father's alcohol addiction, but you know, all the moving around that they had to do from, you know, Toronto, and then Jugmeet ended up going back to Punjab for a little while, and then back to Canada, and you know, in Newfoundland, and in Windsor. And it's, I mean, that must have been, you know, hard. And that kind of also where the courage comes in as well, like to be able to you know, face this, all these changes. And you know, it definitely takes a lot of courage. And you know, the title really hit home. And it's interesting how his mom said that, you know, you face everything with love and courage. I really enjoyed hearing the prologue, and especially hearing the prologue in Jagmeet's own voice. You know, it can really, you know, you can relate in a lot of ways. And, you know, I can only imagine the struggles of immigrants, you know, especially those who have gotten a degree in their own country, and then they come here only to find that their degree is not accepted here. They have to take the Canadian equivalent in order for them to be able to work here. And I mean, in my case, of course, you know, my nonnas and nonnos as well, you know, they came here and they had no education. And, you know, in both cases, you know, it's really hard to, you know, get settled. And I can only imagine, you know, what they must have gone through. And, you know, I can only imagine what Jagmeet's family must have gone through.
What a busy traffic on this Friday evening. I am almost stuck in this traffic for the last 40 minutes. And there is no way, I think, for me to get to the show. The CNT Radio Songbank, which is going to start very shortly. It's one of my favorite shows. And my, what a way to wind down for the weekend. Perfect 2 hours of fun-filled music. And she has so many great features. Sound of Music, Undercover, Foreign Exchange. Yes. Name That Tune. And the big wheel that she spins. For Who's That or Where Are We? We cannot forget about the international stage. I have never come across such a great show in my life. I think I will have to press hard on my accelerator and go as fast as I can to get home in time. Wow! Wow! Look! I made it! I am almost there! Sienna T. Reed, making your day brighter, one song at a time.
CNT Radio will never give you up. They will never let you down. Nor will they run around or desert you. So join Nick Astley for The Melting Pot every Saturday on CNT Radio. Hang on a minute. He's not Nick Astley. Oh, jings, I've done it wrong. Anyway, just join Nick for The Melting Pot on CNT Radio.
Looking for a sports podcast that covers sports weekly as well as gets you set up for the day? Check out Weekly in Sports with me, Scott McGregor. We give some shout-outs of the week to podcasts like this one and those who do them. Discuss the Blue Jays, Bills, Raptors, and more. To learn more, check out the Sports for Beginners Facebook page. Search Sports for Beginners.
You're right about the education side, right? Because when you were saying there that people, like where you have people where when they come over from different countries, the education that they had from their native country, where it doesn't, they don't qualify when they get here. Obviously, the standards are different, but then when they're I feel like there could be a case where they don't really know that is the case. I don't know, maybe. I mean, in your case, did you sort of, or do you feel like your grandparents may have thought that they would be able to where they'd be able to do something similar here as they did in Italy with their education, kind of with those transferable skills, as they call it in call center days?
That's a very good question, and it's interesting in my grandparents' case because they only had my don't really know too much about my nonno on my mom's side, but my nonna had a grade 3 education, and my other grandparents on my dad's side went up to, I think, grade 5, and then around there, and then the war happened when they were teenagers. My other nonna was 8 when the war happened. So, I mean, she was only able to get up to a grade 3 education. But it was interesting because my nonno, who I haven't met on my mom's side, he passed away before I was born. He worked in construction, building houses and that. And it was interesting because depending on the jobs, I mean, without an education, a lot of back in those days, people would work in construction or they'd work in factories, that sort of thing. My nonna on my dad's side worked in a clothing factory, I think, making dresses. And those were the types of jobs they got. And so a lot of people back then who came to Canada to build a better life for themselves and their families didn't really have that education. So, but I think the jobs were a lot more, it seems like they were, to a certain extent, a lot more readily available than they were, you know, in the late 70s. And even now, it's really hard for people to get the education. They have to work in order to get the education, and they have to get the education in order to work. So it seems like for them, it's more of a vicious cycle, if you will.
It's almost like the work that they're doing to try and make their way through education, depending on what it is, could have been half the job of what their parents were doing, what, you know, our grandparents were doing. Like, if you're working, like, say, for example, if you have shifts in construction around your schooling, well, if your grandfather was a construction worker, that's something he did, you know, 5 days a week, you know, 8 hours a day.
He did, yeah, and that is something certainly, and I think there's a little bit, I think there's sort of that, I mean, I think even now, I don't know what would readily be available to people coming, but I think it's just, I mean, it kind of leaves for something interesting, does it? Leaves for like a, it shows sort of what they had to do versus what, what people who were born here are doing or had to do. I think there's like a, it's almost like a different animal if you look at it.
Well, if we moved abroad, then our lives would be turned upside down.
Yes. Sure, yep. And, so, you know, were there any thoughts there? I want to get your thoughts here. Were there any parts part so far of the book? I don't know how far you've gotten in the book, but were there any parts that surprised you, like that sort of surprised you? Like, specifically, did it surprise you that his father wasn't, that Jagmeet's father was, like, he had all this education, he did become a doctor, and then eventually kind of got everything kind of got taken away from him, but that he turned sort of, were you surprised that his life kind of turned upside down due to his addiction with alcohol, and then eventually, and then kind of straightened out a bit at the end?
Actually, Ali, to answer your question, I was very, very surprised that his life turned upside down. His father, that his life turned upside down. Although, in a way, I wasn't, because, I mean, he had gone through so much, and, I mean, with the stress of getting the education and then having to move around quite a bit. And there was just so much that he dealt with. There was quite the big ordeal. And in a way, I wasn't surprised, but in a way I was. Knowing that also that he wasn't really a practicing Sikh. I wasn't, because it seemed that, like, his mom had that, you know, things are tough, but, you know, we persevere. And for his dad, I think he really struggled with that. So, I mean, in a way, I'm surprised, but mostly I'm not. I can see how the depression of it all can make someone turn to, not always, but in some cases, make someone turn to substance abuse. And yeah, it's not an easy ordeal.
It's not. And then remember that, and Jeff, you sort of made reference to this a little bit earlier there, but then, of course, and I wanted to mention this, that then remember there were parts there where the kids just dumped out the bottle of, they just dumped out whatever alcoholic beverages were in it. And then there was even closer to the middle of the book there where they filled it up with water.
Yeah, I remember, it kind of reminds me of listening to, like, to you sort of reference that. Kids in school whose parents wanted to quit smoking, their kids would grab their cigarettes, you know, tear the package apart or throw them in the garbage. And at first it's met with sort of anger, like, you touch my stuff, you know, but afterwards, once that, you know, it's kind of the Kickstarter or the cold shower. And eventually, you know, they come back to thank them for that. So that's not an exactly one-to-one comparison, but yeah, it mm-hmm. is interesting the things that you do to try and work around it, whether if it's sort of reactive where it's like, okay, let's kind of lay low or go out for a bit, or sort of proactive when it's like, okay, let's see if we can sort of, you know, catch this in the act or try and nip it in the bud, sort of be a pattern interrupt to, you know, to the ritual that is drinking.
Well, I think, yes, and I feel like there is some level of that. There is a level of that, but I think that while he did go to the treatment centers and this and that sort of thing, but then, and I mean, at the end it was different, but there were times in between where he did, but then he just kind of went back on it. Like, I think the way, from what I'm gathering, is that the treatment centers are just, and I don't know about now, I think it may still be the same, and I don't want to generalize, but from what I'm gathering of how they work is they just give you the education on what it can do to you, rather than actually giving the treatment on how to sort of remove the addiction, because I think that sort of comes on the person with the education. I mean that they're providing, the person has to sort of make that sort of choice. Like, that's sort of what I'm gathering as to how those things work.
Yeah, actually, so I haven't gotten to that point yet, but it is interesting that you mention agencies, because I just read a book not too long ago where someone actually does go into rehab, and it's basically a recount of the 3 weeks that he was in there. And in that case, I think if you were caught using in the rehab center, you were kicked out. Like, that was it for you. And, in this case, he had a lot of reason to try and quit, but there were some friends that he made while in rehab who showed up to his place, you know, a few months later, who had gone right back to where they started and were trying to get him to join in their fun and games. So, I honestly don't know, because I have to read the chapter itself. But, you know, because there's the 12-step program, which is part of it. I can't remember when that actually came out, but it was, I do know that the 12-step program itself in AA became a thing in the mid-70s, and there's more behind that too. But, I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, it's like you said, they'll tell you they'll tell you about it, but really it's the person's will to get through it is the ultimate factor, because you can't change someone's mind with logic and facts, because this is an addiction. So, you know, to Ali's point, there's gotta be real responses to that, because you've gotta really simulate the moods that you find yourself in to combat them. It's like working on the grounds as opposed to just working in the classroom sort of thing.
Yeah, you see, like my thing is, and then I believe we've got Lynn that just came in here. It's one of those situations where I feel like what has to happen is I feel like real support from these agencies and treatment centers is what has to be given, rather than just the education, in the sense of, now I don't know, I don't obviously have an answer to how they can do, like how they can do that, but I feel like something has to come up where something has to change, in that some piece is given to give them real help and training on how to combat the addiction. Sienna, your thoughts, please. I see you want to have a hand up.
Yep, and I just wanted to confirm that I was able to assist Lynn, and welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, thank you for giving me a call, and thank you for helping me get on. I'm flustered, so I was, you know, my mind was splintered.
No worries.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
go ahead.
I mean, I agree, like, it's... I don't really know like how the 12-step program works as such, but definitely support is always, you know, a good thing to have. Education as well, in terms of knowing what's out there to help people who are struggling with addiction and help the families of those who struggle with alcohol addiction or any type of addiction for that matter. You know, services like Al-Anon, for example, you know, it's always good to know.
Also, you know, Mad Canada's, well, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, well. Like, well, that's one of them too.
Yes.
Sorry, sorry about that.
No, not at all. But they're definitely, you know, the support and the education, you know, it's really, really critical.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I can just sort of barge in.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No Sienna, worries.
Sienna, I certainly agree with you. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're coming in nice and clear. Really clear, actually. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. My husband, the father of my three children, he was alcoholic. So I joined, you know, the group that supported family members and friends and so on. And I found it really, really helpful. And you know what? When I first joined, it didn't even necessarily matter, you know, what was... How do I put this? It doesn't even matter... it didn't matter at the time how they thought they were maybe helping me or helping people in general, or the fact that they existed and I was there and welcomed with open arms. Step number one, huge, absolutely huge and key to me feeling hope that, you know, I could work through this and so on and so forth. And, you know, that kind of thing. So I think, but it is a solid program. Could there be improvements? Well, there could be with almost anything. And I think, you know, the person seeking help and support, you know, they have to be in a mind space to accept what's coming their way, accept the help, or if something is missing, to speak up and say, you know, I need this, or please tell me more about your experience with this, or, you know, it's reciprocal, I guess is what I'm saying. But these programs are really, really important.
You can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. The person doesn't want to.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. And of course, in my situation, I was, you know, rather hell-bent. My children were very young. My daughter was old enough to know that there was something amiss with her father. So I discovered this book that you could share with your children to, you know, help explain it. And, you know, I did that. I mean, ultimately, you know, the marriage failed, but I think the reason why I reached out and was open to help was that I started, I don't know what word to use, I started feeling rather ill myself. You know, like it was a huge thing. It had a huge impact on me. So, you know, but yes, you have to be in a place, you have to be willing to be helped. And he did go to Al-Anon, but he lasted two meetings. He wasn't ready. He didn't think there was anything wrong with him. And quite often, people with an addiction blame those around them. Well, you know, I'm addicted to alcohol, or I'm addicted to drugs because it's your fault, and they believe it. So, yeah, the person has to be ready, open, willing, And yes, someone who is not willing to be helped, or, you know, really doesn't want it, it's going to be impossible. They have to be ready.
So, in a sense, then, were you surprised? I don't know how much of Jagmeet Singh's biography, Love and Courage, you had a chance to read, but did any of, like, did that piece surprise you that his father was an alcoholic?
Yes, I, you know, to be truthful, how embarrassing to be truthful, I really did not know that much, really, at all about his background. So, but when I was reading that, you know, it did, of course, it resonated with me big time. So, you know, I certainly, you know, had a lot of, you know, understanding and sympathy. It sort of changed the narrative for me in that sense, because I think anyone who, you know, overcomes the odds, whether they're the addict themselves or they're dealing with someone who, excuse me, is, you know, addicted, you know, you've got to be ready, you know, ready and willing to accept their story and yours as a witness and someone who's trying to cope. Yeah, I had no idea that was a part of his life.
So then I should ask you, then, just to kind of follow up on that, that I don't, like, do you now, in hindsight, and I realize this is almost unfair for me to ask you, but let's have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Whatever it is, yes.
Yeah, all of us here. I know it's sort of unfair for me to ask, but I'm going to put it out here for conversation, and we can chat about it. That should his mom, because you can kind of relate to, should his mom have handled things or handled the problem differently? Or at least even recognize that there is a problem, and that this can, and that this is already turning into a serious matter here.
Well, you know, I think it's such an individual choice based on, you know, I do think sometimes, you know, emotions and feelings about the person, you know, they can interfere, but, you know, everybody kind of does the best that they can at any given time. And, you know, it's a matter of knowing the person really well. You know, part of the challenge is you might be dealing with the situation, you know, maybe not fabulously well, but, you know, even if you're, you know, approaching it from a position where you're willing to accept reality and, you know, you've done some research and you know that this would be bad, but that would be good and so on and so forth in terms of helping the person. I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? I think that, you know, regardless, you can't get into the mind of the person who is, who has the addiction. You know, even if you're their mom, their dad, the person's spouse, you can't. So the only thing you can do is, you know, take what you know. You've got the best of intentions and you start running with it, but you make, perhaps you need to make and be open to making suggestions or, you know, scrapping plan A and trying, you know, checking plan B or whatever, just to see, you know, what's truly going to help. And I think the bottom line is, though, you've got to remember that you don't have control. really. The person who is ill, you know, is either going to listen to you or not listen to you, or listen to some bits and not other bits. I mean, that is the person who really has, they've got to be motivated. They've got to be aware. They've got to know their limitations. In many cases, you know, at some point, perhaps they reach out for help, and that's a prime time to offer it. It's complicated.
I think two things are on display here. One is at the very beginning of the book, Jagmeet outlines the difference between his parents. His dad was very ambitious and very driven, whereas his mom was very, very pragmatic, very also contented, I think was the word. You know, she was very sort of, you know, here's the status quo, let's make something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's, someone who's very, someone who's very orderly could all of a sudden have a come to Jesus moment where they're like, okay, this is not okay. But second of all, part of it too is when you know someone, and she obviously knew him before he had clung to the bottle, you still have envisions of that person. And so in some ways, as much as there's denial on the addict side of things, there's also a bit of denial because on family member side, because they still have reference to the type of person that they are, you know. So yes. He's the doctor that saves everyone's lives to the rest of the population, but at the same time, he's also the one that no one wants to entertain at night. So it's really hard when you're kind of blinded by that reality too. I don't want to say blinded, but your focus kind of narrows in, and that's all you see.
Yes, that's very well expressed, and that hits the nail right on the head. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective to look at it. You know, it's very hard because, I mean, especially if you know the person before they clung to the bottle, as you say, Jeff, I could definitely imagine the denial that his mom, Jagmeet's mom, and even the family, the kids themselves, were like the denial that they were faced with as well. Like it's like, this isn't my dad, you know, this is the addiction making him the way he is, you know. And it's really hard. A lot of people will say something like, you know, like when it comes to someone who struggles with mental health, and, you know, someone, they behave a certain way, and people will say, no, that's not the person. It's the mental illness. It's the addiction that's causing them to behave the way they're behaving. And separating the person from the addiction can be, there can be a blurred line there.
Alzheimer's too.
Alzheimer's too, yeah. Yep.
Oh, very true. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's a really difficult thing. You know, I think addiction is just, you know, a dreadful, dreadful thing all the way around for everyone involved. You know,
unimaginable.
Pardon me?
It's unimaginable.
Oh yes. Oh well. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's hard to really, because I don't know anybody in my family or in my friend circle per se that struggled with alcohol addiction. But you know, so it's, for me, it's beyond scary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to Sienna's point, talking about the person versus the addiction, when his father would talk to his kids, when they would tell him, you know, when you're drunk, you scare us. You're very violent. You throw things. You scare us. We want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking to their dad, and their dad is thinking about this, you know, as, you know, the father of his children. You know, he's got his children, his wife, his job, his sense of duty, his ambitions. So he's hearing this, and he's, you know, the human side of him is thinking, oh my God, like, this is what is happening. But the addict side, you know, the alcohol is not going to go, are you sure you want to do this? You know, alcohol is like, I'm right here, you know, indulge me. For the kids, like when you hear that kind of comforting, it's all going to be okay, spoken to you, it means a lot. But, you know, as he said, you know, I heard that so many times, and every time I believe this time was different and it was going to happen, because it's a very mm-hmm. human connection that his father is giving them in that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that, and I understand that, because, you know, I was dealing with, you know, three children, two of whom were, well, that's just it. They can be young enough, you know, they were oblivious, but old enough to, you know, even though they couldn't maybe put words to it, old enough to know that something's amiss here. And, you know,
there was a disturbance.
Yes, that's right. There's a disturbance. There's a current running through these waters that, you know, is having an effect on us, but we're too young to, you know, with the exception of the oldest of the three. And it's terrible, because you don't know how to help, you know, because it is a situation where, you know, you think it'll get better. Oh, okay. I think we're getting somewhere. And then, you know, one step forward, 10 back, you know, whatever. And it's difficult to help. Well, it's a terrible thing for a family to go through all the way around. You know, it's difficult to know what to do, what to say, the steps to take. You know, you want compassion and understanding, but there's also anger and disappointment. You know, all of that stuff. It's just this a barrage of, it's like the perfect storm. It's just a, you know, one hit after the other, really. But, it, you know, it's interesting, before I started reading the book, I was very struck by, you know, the title of his book. I mean, not really knowing much about him, I thought, oh, Love and Courage, you know, and then, of course, the rest of the title, My Story of Family Resilience and so on. So I guess I thought, well, you know, but I had no idea it was, about the addiction that it happened to be about. See, I can hardly say the word, eh? Alcoholism. Yeah. I can hardly say it. I mean, it had for years, I don't want to make this about me, but just to give a perspective of,
go ahead.
How those surrounding the person feels, I drive past a liquor store, and I would have a visceral reaction to the fact that it existed right there. Yeah, and I kind of wished that all these liquor stores, all these places, I just wish they would disappear.
I have a friend whose father was a Hell's Angel, and for a while she had that kind of same response to anytime a motorcycle would whiz past her window.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. These things are, I think, a challenge to cope with at the time, get over, yeah, it's difficult. And I think, whether anybody wants to, anybody involved wants to believe it or not, you can overcome something, but it has contributed, even if it's just a tiny bit, or it's contributed to the person you have become, or that the person you are. I don't, I don't, I'm at a loss as to how to
No, I get it.
how to specifically, explain that. But you can't live through something like that and not have it, it shaped your perspective, or at least shaped your perspective,
See enter young hand has been raised.
about
Press CNT plus
drinking
tilde to read pop up in lower
more,
hand. Press CNT plus tilde to read pop up in lower hand.
shooting up whatever drug, it's going to have its impact,
And
I
Sienna,
think.
did you want to get the last word in before we
Yeah.
share the before we share the upcoming schedule here, and give a little and put a bow on the show here tonight? Go ahead.
No, not to worry.
We noticed you have
Yeah.
spoken, so we will lower your hand in 8 seconds.
I not being able to relate in the sense of not
Press CNT plus
having
tilde to read pop up in lower hand. Raise hand, Sienna,
anybody
Trey Young, raise
in
hand. Close.
my
Press CNT plus tilde to open pop up.
friend or
Raise hand, Sienna, Trey Young,
family
raise hand. Close. Press CNT plus
circle.
tilde to open pop up.
Well, actually, I had a friend in high school who unfortunately took to the bottle when she left high school, and was hanging around with the crowd from high school that did some things, and well, she became, it was the same kind of thing. She became addicted. She became alcoholic, and the triggers, like I can understand the triggers, when you've dealt with it, or when you're dealing with someone who is struggling with alcoholism, it's the triggers are real. And you've given me a different perspective, and I didn't realize just how real those triggers can be. And getting back to the
See, Andrew,
title
Yanni Han has been
of
lowered.
Love and Courage, it really, you need love and courage to work with someone who's struggling,
Oh,
and to
absolutely.
all work together. You need love and courage, and it's the title really, in that sense, like it's so fitting. It's so fitting, and it hits home.
I didn't even put two and two together until Sienna just brought it up, but there is kind of an innuendo there if you want to sort of point it out, where if it's love and courage and we're talking about alcohol, alcohol is affectionately called liquid courage, so
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I speaking of the word courage, I think it took a lot of courage for him to share that story. And I have absolutely, you know, great respect for that, because I think, you know, on some level, he's offering love and courage to others.
Absolutely.
You know, here's my story. Have courage, you know. You know, continue your life with love and courage. Mm-hmm. I really have a lot of respect, because you know that there are those out there who, you know, are going to not be accepting, and, you know, they'll choose not to understand. They'll react, you know, oh, well, oh, for heaven's sakes. And he, you know, he's a politician. Oh, for heaven's sakes. You know, so I think he, I admire the courage that telling that story, and even the process of sitting down and writing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would have to, on some level, embrace living the story over again, in some way.
Which takes courage.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And timeline-wise, I just thought of this too. If this book came out in 2019, it would have been just before the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. It's interesting, because I know, like, people may not like the person as a politician, but really getting to see that human side, you mm-hmm. know, it, like, politician aside, it really changes your perspective. It really shows you it really kind of, you know what, like, I, you know, he and his family have been through so much, and, you know, respect, hats off to him for, mm-hmm. you know, having the courage to share his story. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had something similar where, oh, sorry, go ahead, Lynette.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, no, I was just, you know, sir. Yes, agreeing.
Go ahead.
So
go ahead.
I had something to well, I guess Sienna's and Lynn's point. I had something similar a few months ago where I found a book at random called Beautiful Scars by Tom Wilson, and I had no idea who Tom Wilson is.
Yeah,
feel free to send that over if you together. Want.
But it was, you know, here I found him actually by chance, because I was looking for Canadian autobiographies to read, and I was just browsing Audible. And the thing that kind of reeled me in was the fact that his voice sounds eerily like my next door neighbor. I'm like, whoa, okay, who is this person?
Oh, wow.
But it's a lot like this book in the sense that it's a memoir of his life. In this case, it's more like Jameet's book is not autobiographical in the sense that it's not a timeline of his life per se. It's about his family life. It's a lot like mm-hmm. Son of a Critch. But, you know, if you didn't know Jagmeet mm-hmm. the Man, or in this case, I had no idea who Tom Wilson really was, but it's a story that now knowing that story and having sort of connected it to the, you know, the musician and his songs that I now realize who he is, it's like, okay, I feel like I know somebody much better now. And, you know, that story mm-hmm. is what compelled me to want to look into him.
Mm-hmm. I stumbled across that book the same way that you did. I didn't really know who he was, but I inexplicably, well, you know, I like to read biography and memoir and all that kind of thing. So I picked it up and I read it. I'm telling you, I was absolutely, to me, it was a page turner.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. I wanted to find out more about who this person was, and how he got to be, you know, where he is as, you know, as a musician and so on. Yeah, I stumbled on it. I forget I just stumbled on it and I decided to read it. Interesting title. You know, again, interesting title. Okay, what's so beautiful about scars? And I'm very glad I read it.
Well, this was a fabulous, a fascinating discussion here tonight on love and courage. And we got in by Jagmeet, and we have been discussing Love and Courage by Jagmeet Singh, and a powerful discussion that came out of this. We will definitely have more of these types of conversations, because we've got some similar books coming up in the on future panels, but the books panel will return on Friday, September 26th, 2025 at 7 p.m. And we will be discussing The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. Now, if you can't wait until then, the Broadcast Map Network has you covered. Because on Monday, September the 1st, 2025, it is another episode of Ali and Makara's Books returns. Mm-hmm. Yes, I like it! And we will be discussing on that particular book, we will be discussing Hope by Terry Fox. It was actually written by Barbara her last name escapes me, but that's okay. We will, you can head over there to AllieandMakarasBooks.ca and find out the information there on that particular book coming up. And you can find us here to learn more about the books panel. You can find us at bookspanel.ca. And while you're there, please do subscribe to the newsletter. We always encourage you to do that, as well as all the platforms are there as well. You can like the Books Panel Facebook page if you aren't already. You can also join the WhatsApp group. We do have a Books Panel WhatsApp group, which there is a link to that there on the website. And of course, we also have the email feedback@bookspanel.ca. And you can find us as well on Mastodon as well. And soon you will find us on Blue Sky as well, but you can find us at Books Panel. And I look forward to being back with you on Friday, September 26th. I would like to thank the panelists tonight. We have had Jeff, Sienna, and Lynn. Thank you guys so much on this Friday night for a long weekend to have this discussion with me. I do appreciate your time tonight.
Always a pleasure being here, and always a pleasure discussing with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to the next
always
one.
Always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and happy early Labor Day to all listeners out there.
Yeah.
Same to all of you, and same to all the listeners out there as well. A very happy long Labor Day weekend.